Good afternoon. This is a piece of the action with Stephen Dorley and...
Hello, Sue here.
Sue Gilby. Yes. How are you all on this fine afternoon? I actually got on the new tram for the first time.
New
Botanic Gardens tram, which makes very much easier to get to the station for me from the railway station. So that's nice. We have a mixed show today, but before we get on to that, we will... acknowledge that we are on Kaurna land and that Kaurna sovereignty has never been relinquished, and we honour the Kaurna people, their elders past, present and future. We think that means something more and more every time we do it. Yeah, it's not just a matter of ritual. It shouldn't be anyway. We've got a
show. Topics, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Will you start, because this is the first one? What are we covering with the Anti-Poverty Network?
So I've got. I went along to the conference on Thursday, and the Anti-Poverty Network conference, and I just spoke briefly to four women, and they told a little of their story, and it's quite harrowing. So I think it'd be good if we could start with that. We've had a few major reports in the last few weeks, including this week's release of the Poverty in Australia report done by ACOS and the University of New South Wales.
And what does that report highlight?
The report highlights the growing poverty in Australia, that amongst single parents as just as one subgroup, between 2013 and 2015, raised by 24%.
Goodness.
In 2 years, and if things keep going the way that they're currently going, you know, we're a wealthy country. There's no reason why we have so many children. I think it's about 175,000 children in Australia living in abject poverty.
Oh yes, hi, my name's Kirsty. I'm here advocating on all behalf of the disadvantaged people and low income earners, and importantly, public housing. As we all know, there's a shortage. The homeless gateways, which are used to temporary house people, overflowing, are very difficult to get in. So what are these people meant to do? They live in their cars, not very comfortable, unable to cook meals. How do they register a car? What address do they give? How are they able to look for job opportunities, personal hygiene, dignity? Please give people dignity. We're all human. To work your way out of the poverty cycle, you need to start somewhere and work up. You need to get to that line where you're able to feed yourself. Money for transport, money for medication. Without these necessities, there's going to be more strain placed on the public health system, which is already under strain. This isn't good enough. We need to do something more. We need to do something to help the less fortunate, the vulnerable. There's going to be many more. We see a lot of ladies, particularly in their 50s, forced to living on the street. These are people's mothers, your grandmother, these are people you love.
Yeah.
We cannot let this continue. The people that are here, that are living in public housing, are there through misfortune. Why do you wish misfortune on others? This isn't bringing yourself up. This is bringing yourself down. Well, like I said, we need change. And we need it to happen now.
You ready? Hello, I'm Wendy, and
I lost my job in 2012 after the company where I'd been working for quite a long number of years closed down. It left me with no contactable references, which made it extremely difficult to get another job. I'm highly educated, have more than nearly 40 years worth of experience in a wide number of different fields, so I was quite confident that I would be able to get a new job, but that didn't happen. I very quickly discovered that Newstart was significantly less than my rent. My house where I was living at the time, it was a nice house, but it was certainly no palace. But with your income being less than the rent, there was nothing I could do. My savings became very quickly depleted and I ended up homeless and living in my car. And my health declined severely. My weight dropped below 35 kilograms because I was unable to get food, unable to cook food. I couldn't afford to get takeaway or anything. I had no access to a shower. I almost didn't survive. By the time I got the help I needed to get into a house, my doctor said that I wouldn't have survived even one more night living out in the rough. The house where I'm currently living, my rent is 75% of the Newstart payment. My budget only allows me $20 a fortnight for food, and I'm going backwards with a deficit of $60 a fortnight, so I'm sinking further and further into debt every single fortnight. So there's no way I can get out of this situation unless I can get work. But the low payment of Newstart is actually a barrier to getting work because I can't take care of my health, I can't feed myself properly, I can't afford medication, I frequently can't afford electricity. So even though I have a roof over my head, without electricity I have no hot water, no way of cooking anything, no way, you know, my fridge doesn't work without electricity, so I've got no way of storing food. I can't afford takeaway. But with no hot water, again, personal hygiene becomes an issue. Mm-hmm. And without electricity, even if I can afford to pay my to get credit on my phone, I can't charge my phone. I can maybe go on the internet at the library or at the job network to look for works, but I can't be contacted without an operating phone. So there's all of these barriers to obtaining a job. It doesn't matter how qualified you are or how experienced you are. Once you're over 45 or 50, it becomes significantly more difficult, and on the Newstart payment, with being so low, I mean, you can't even afford transport to get to a job interview. If you don't have the money to present yourself well, like get a nice haircut and get some nice clothes to look presentable, it really is a considerable barrier, and then that starts to affect your mental health, your self-esteem, and after a period of time just scraping through and surviving in these situations, it really does create a sense of hopelessness that becomes very difficult to break free from.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Mm.
Yes, like I said in the beginning, the stories are actually quite harrowing. There's one more to come, and we'll just listen to that. But perhaps we can have a bit of a chat about it all after, Stephen.
Sure. Sure. I'm Amethyst DeWild. I've been a member of the APN for 3 years, I think. 3 years.
I don't know. I've been for 2 years, so...
Well, maybe 2 years, maybe it's only two, maybe it seems longer. So my story, I've been, I'm on the DSP. I was diagnosed with bipolar in 2010. I think I already always had it, but because I'm in Australia, people just thought I was a bit of a party girl. And then, of course, they didn't see me for the times when I crashed. So, but I was a lot of fun during the party girl times. I was working in the public service for about 5 years and left that, started acting, did a bit of acting, and then gradually just got sicker. So it was harder and harder. Ended up on the pension. And I'm very, very grateful. I've got an association house, which means that the rent is capped at 25% of my income. And I've done things like I've got two chooks, Houdini and Freya. Houdini, so called because she kept escaping all the time. And people give me food for them, and I've actually picked over it to see if there's anything edible for me. I was actually really grateful yesterday because they put a telephone book in my mailbox. I thought, oh, excellent, I can use that for toilet paper. Awesome. Because if you scrunch them up, it really works. It really works. So don't worry. But the thing that gets me is I'm finding it hard. I'm finding it hard to make ends meet. How the hell are people on NeuroStart going? I don't know how they do it.
Man.
I literally don't know how they survive. I'm very fortunate. I've got family that loves me, put up with my jokes, and if I get desperate, I can get a meal there. What about the people that haven't got family? What about the people that haven't got friends? What about the people... I've got a GP access worker. I'm really grateful for her too. She said that... She asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, I just really want to go out for a cup of tea, and I didn't have any money. She goes, I'll buy you a cup of tea, and I burst into tears. I just started crying because she offered me a cup of tea. And it's not much, I suppose, for her, but it was massive for me. So I'm just worried about the people that are flying under the radar, the ones that can't advocate for themselves. The ones that can't talk about what's happening. The ones that are too ashamed. You know, I mean, I've done things like schlep a mattress on my car because it looked better than the one I was sleeping at home. You know, it didn't actually, unfortunately, because it was... I turned it over and there was all these... didn't work out. But I tried and that was the main thing. So, yeah, I'm just worried about the people that can't...
No one chooses to be in this situation.
Nobody.
There is no choice.
Nobody.
It's not a choice that people volunteer for.
No.
Unfortunately, though, that's the way the media and the government present us. The government, they successfully continue punishing us in the way they do with all the mutual obligations and everything. The propaganda that they present to the public, that we are all just a mob of alcoholics and drug addicts that choose to sit at home and watch TV all day and we have no desire to work. But I worked for nearly 40 years of my life. I didn't choose for the company where I was working to close down. That was not my decision.
Yeah.
And I've been trying so hard to get work. You know, what do you do? I know there are people out there who are happy to sit at home and take drugs all day, but...
I've never met them.
Everybody in that category.
Well,
yes, quite powerful, aren't they?
Well, that's the sort of situation that people are reduced to by a inadequate payment in supposedly one of the richest countries of the world, you know.
And who could ever foresee that all of them said when we were talking first, like, I just never thought I'd be in this situation.
Yeah. Well, the other side of it is that they keep on telling you that inflation is low, but as someone like them in that situation, I can tell you that food prices are not low in terms of inflation. Food prices are volatile. You can't really afford meat anymore except for pork. You know, chicken, lamb, beef especially, are way up there. You know, maybe we can afford rat or something feral, but, you know, even rabbit is expensive these days. So, yeah, it's you know, and then, of course, the whole rental thing is such an enormous part of it.
It's outrageous. But the idea, you know, of having your electricity turned off so you can't even have a phone.
Yeah.
Because you can't charge your phone. So how on earth can you look for work?
Well, the next phase is, as we all know, where the people get to in America, where there's millions of people on the streets mm-hmm. living homeless. Yeah.
So good on the Anti-Poverty Network for the work that they do. And I think most councils have now signed up to raise New Start.
Yes, and you wonder at the ones who aren't, what excuses they're running out of for not supporting
exactly.
It.